You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
This is Ray Stevens' song. If you don't know who Ray Stevens is, he's a, I guess you could consider him a country singer, but he does more of the political songs, the way he does. But every now and then he does a couple of gospel songs, once or twice a year. That's about it. But I really like this one. I found this one a couple of months ago, and I learned it about 5 minutes after listening to it. So I'm going to try it tonight. We got a problem in this world today, and most of it's caused by all you people walking around out there without a clue. You're lost and confused and don't know what to do. Here's a message for you. If Jesus, try that again. If Jesus is a stranger, check your circle of friends. Oh, brother, you're in danger, and it's time to make a mend. You might be looking the other way, but he's looking straight at you. So if Jesus is a stranger, get yourself introduced. I ain't no preacher, oh, but I know wrong from right. I ain't no saint, but I know I've seen the light, and I'm giving you warning in a friendly sort of way, that he will be coming back someday. If Jesus is a stranger, check your circle of friends. Oh, brother, you're in danger, and it's time to make amends. You might be looking the other way, but he's looking straight at you. So if Jesus is a stranger, get yourself introduced. I'm not some religious nut, no, I'm just stating the facts. You might be straying, but there's still time to turn back, 'cause the day is coming when you'll have to sink or swim. And it won't matter who you know if you don't know him. If Jesus is a stranger, check your circle of friends. Oh, brother, you're in danger, and it's time to make amends. You might be looking the other way, but he's looking straight at you. So if Jesus is a stranger, get yourself introduced. Yes, if Jesus is a stranger, get yourself introduced.
Goodbye, goodbye. All right, hey, I am so. Somebody cut a picture of a dobro out if you can find one, and Kenny will make one and be playing one next Thursday. He has played every kind. That young man, he has got a pedal steel guitar. You know, I mean, there's people. I had a friend of mine from Nashville told me one time the most difficult instrument that there is to learn to play is pedal steel guitar, and Kenny had it mastered in about 2 weeks, got tired of it, and moved on to something else. You know, kid has got more talent than anybody. Young man has got more talent than anybody I've ever met, and he's a good and godly Christian man, and I'm glad to call him a friend. Man, y'all got lucky tonight. We have got the man who could have his own revival in Andrews, Texas. You know, Saul of Tardis got knocked off his horse, got hit in the head, and asked, you know, what's going on? And Jesus asked him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Well, this guy had a conversion that was almost as wicked, just in the same note. I've had the pleasure of hearing Steve talk on a number of occasions. He's a good Christian man, and he lives what he talks. Steve, come on.
How y'all doing this evening? How come everybody filled the back row up first? It just like a bunch of Baptists, isn't it? I'm strained to see y'all. My eyes are failing in my old age here. I want to welcome you here today. It's a pleasure to be here. And leaving when he calls me, I usually come once a year or so, and I always accept because I think it does more for me than it does anybody else, right? That's the way it is in the kingdom. When you give it away, you get to keep it. So I'm going to give a little bit away today and hopefully get to keep some too. Okay? You know, I had this deal happen to me recently at my house where we'd remodeled it and kind of dressed up as an old house. And man, I was a hero in my wife's eyes for forever, you know, for doing that, because it was just a real old common house, oil-filled house, and we bricked it, did some maintenance on it, and made it look all pretty, you know. And so she was sure looking at me with a gleam in her eyes. And recently, we had a water leak underneath that old house, and I didn't know it was happening because it was a real slow leak, and the copper had got perforated. And instead of puddling up on the ground, it sprayed all the underfloor and the wooden joists underneath there. And all of a sudden, all that work I did started undoing itself. Tiles started popping up. Cracks started coming in the ceiling, in the walls, in the floor. And I thought, Lord, what is happening here? You know, I'm not much of a carpenter, so I really didn't understand it. And then I got the builders back over there thinking maybe there was something with the quality of their work, and come to find out that that hole underneath of that house had gotten wet. So we're going to have to redo all that that we had done on the inside. And so we got all that done. A lot of time, a lot of money. Insurance paid for part of it. They don't ever pay for all of it, right? So we got all that done, and then after we're finished, I start going through the house, and then I see another crack in this room, another crack in this room, and another crack in this room, and the house is still settling. So I probably didn't wait long enough before I had the work done, but who knows. But I think God taught me something. In my office, I'm looking up at the door of my office at the house, and right above that door, there's a big, long crack. You know, they haven't cracked any more than what they originally did, but every time I look at that, I talk Wednesday night at my church, and I kind of talk about what I want to talk about tonight. And when I was looking up there, it's kind of a reminder of me that even though we've walked with Jesus for a while, we still got some cracks in our life. So every time I look at that door, I'm reminded of the cracks in my life, the cracks in my foundation. So I want to talk about your foundation tonight. We'll read a couple of scriptures here, and then we'll talk. This is in Luke 6:47, if you brought your Bible. We'll read three verses here. You'll notice in the first part of that chapter, it talks about the Beatitudes, and then it talks about loving your enemies, about not judging, about a tree is known by its fruit, and then it ends with this, about your foundation. So I think there's a reason it has that sequence. You know, we can't do any of those things that he talked about unless it's Jesus in us doing them. You know, I don't forgive near as easy as I should. And if I didn't have Jesus, I wouldn't forgive at all. I'll just be straight up with you today. It's Christ in me. That's the hope of glory, right? He's the one that causes me to do whatever good things that I do. It's not within me to do it, but it certainly is him. So it leads up to the answer to his Sermon on the Mount is the foundation that you build your life on. So I guess my question tonight for you is, what foundation is your life on? I can tell you mine for a long time was not on the right foundation, and I still get off center sometimes, even though I walk with the Lord for a while now. Verse 47 says, "Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like." So he hears and he does. Is it good enough just to hear? If you don't do what you hear, then it's pretty much empty, isn't it? There's no fruit from it. You got to hear and you got to do. I heard it for a long time before I did it. A long time. I still hear it sometimes before I do it, till God prompts me. Verse 48 says, "He is like a man building a house who dug deep." So it's not a shallow work, it's a deep work. You got to dig deep. "And laid the foundation on the rock," which we know that rock is Jesus, right? "And when," not if, "the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock." So God's telling us that the storms of life will come. He's not saying if they come. He says when they come. We all have storms that come in our life, right? I've had plenty of those that came into my life. Verse 49 says, but he who heard and did nothing, and I can really relate to that one, is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the streams beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Not only that house, but everybody around the house got affected by that. For me, my life was that second example. For a long time, drug addict, alcoholic for 18 years of my life. From the age of 13, I started using. Ended up in a prison cell at 31. Full-blown heroin and cocaine addiction. And didn't see any way out of that. Didn't see any way out of that. Of course, there was a lot of circumstances that led up to that. And we all got war stories, right? So I'm not going to tell you a bunch of war stories, but I will tell you where I've been and how I got out of that, right? Anybody been there? Anybody been in the penitentiary up in here? Come on, talk to me. And, you know, you'll have to stay in that lifestyle. It produces a lifestyle in us. It produces a lifestyle of no foundation. That's what it does. It's no foundation that gets us there. It's no foundation that keeps us there, and it's no foundation that drives us back to that point. Right? I was 31, drug addict, alcoholic, laying in a prison cell. On the cell block, and this all of a sudden this young Hispanic guy comes by my cell block. His name was Ruben Salcedo. He is 21, I was 31. He is 10 years younger than I was. And, man, this guy's whistling. He's happy. And he's really getting on my nerves, you know? Because I'm thinking, man, what were you so happy about up in the penitentiary, right? And so my sick thinking, my stinking thinking, y'all know the term stinking thinking, right? I'm thinking, man, this dude's got his mustache up in here somewhere. Ain't nobody that happy in the penitentiary. Nobody. It just can't happen. So I track old Reuben down, and I try to sweat him to tell me where his stash is. And I'll never forget, he just gazed at me in my eyes, and I'll never forget, it was really a penetrating look. It really cut core to my heart. He says, Steve, the only thing I have stashed is Jesus. And he patted his chest right here in his heart. Man, I said, are you for real, dude? He said, yeah, for real. You know, I would have given some people some hope. It didn't give me much hope after all the lives I'd ruined and the wrecks I'd been in with folks and the lives I'd destroyed along the wake of my life. And shook my fist at God and cursed God and didn't even believe there was a God. But somehow when bad things happen, I'd be quick to shake my fist and curse him, even though I didn't believe he was real. Anybody been there? Yeah. Well, Reuben, that just kind of prompted him. Every day he'd come by my house. Of course, y'all know what your house is. It's your cell, right? Come by my house every day and let me read you a scripture. I said, no, bump it on down. You messing with the wrong dude. You know, you wasting your time with me, Reuben. But he's persistent. I got to give him that. He didn't give up on me. Every day he'd come by. Every day. Every day. Finally, after about 3 or 4 days, I said, okay, man, what? So he read me a couple of scriptures and invited me to this Bible study. And I said, will you leave me alone if I go with you? Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you just go, I won't come by your house no more. I said, okay, that's good enough. So I did it mainly to get him off my back. And he forgot to tell me that it was a Spanish-speaking Bible study. So I get in there. I know a few Spanish words, but they ain't church words. You know what I'm saying? They're from down Malato, Mexico, where you run that stuff across the border, you know? Where you make your connections, where you make things happen. And that's all the words I knew. And a few more that weren't worth repeating in church service. And I remember in the middle of that, something just kind of hit me, man. Something was different about that place. It's kind of weird, really. I didn't really know what it was, but it's really, I know now it was the Holy Spirit. He passed me this little folded up piece of notebook paper. It didn't have very many words on it. It just said, Steve, now's the time. I pondered that for a minute. It had a scripture on it, Romans 8:29. He had given me a little pocket testament, a Gideon testament, and I opened it up to that scripture, finally found it, and I read it, and it said, for those that God foreknew, He predestined to be the firstborn among many brethren, to be conformed to the image of His Son. And I got it. All of a sudden, I got it. And God had been pursuing me for a long time. Even in my stupidity, in my drunkenness, high all the time, all the wrecks I'd been in, not physical wrecks, but wrecks with people. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? And the lights come on all of a sudden. That God really, He cared about me. And He was real. And I remember just getting down on my knees in the middle of that service. Of course, even brothers jumped on me when I did that. They laid their hands on me and prayed for me. And I didn't know how to pray. Like I said, I didn't even believe there was a God before that moment. And so I just said, God, I don't know what I'll be. I'll just be for You. That was my prayer. And He's honored that prayer in my life since that day. Have I slipped a few times? Heck yeah, I have. But am I still here today serving Him? Heck yeah. Because I know that's my mainstay in life. My worst day is better than my best day back then. Y'all hear what I'm saying? You got to get that right foundation in your life. Because, I mean, don't you ever get sick and tired of being sick and tired? Man, that's where I was. Man, I just, golly, I thought, man, there's got to be an end to this at some point. And you know, when I did that, I mean, that craving for that heroin went away just like that. And if you know, if you've ever been addicted to heroin, that's a miracle in itself, right? That just don't go away that easy. It went away just like that. Never shot another syringe full of heroin in my life after that day. Not one. Amen? 25 years ago. God's good. He can do it. He can do it. He can do things that man can't do. I got out of prison. God restored my marriage. I'd been divorced for 5 years. Restored my marriage. Restored my kids. Had three beautiful daughters. Now I got 9 grandkids. Wow. God is good to me. He is good to me. I mean, He just keeps multiplying, keeps multiplying. There's no favorite thing in my life to do than hang out with them little people. Y'all like to hang out with little people? Man, that's my favorite thing to do, hang out with the little people. And they love Papa, because I kind of spoil them, you know. But God kind of does that to us sometimes, too, if we let Him. Give me a job, a good job. Been able to help some folks when they get out of prison. Because of the job they give me. I don't have, you know, I quit school when I was in 10th grade. Got a GED when I was incarcerated. Got a job that requires a college education. I don't have any of that, but I sure got to school of hard knocks and a whole bunch of Jesus. And that'll go a long way in this life, I promise you. It'll go a long way in this life. You know, I was reminded I'd been out of prison for about 3 years. You know, it's kind of a process we go through when God starts rebuilding the foundation in our life. You can get saved by saying the sinner's prayer, the Romans road, okay? But then there's a process of the old man dying and the new man coming alive. You start that process from that prayer. But they don't end there. It's a lifelong process where He takes one brick out and puts another one in. Takes one brick out, puts another one in. Take out anger, put in love. Take out unkindness, put in kindness. It's amazing the work that God does in our life, rebuilding the foundation for us. I've been out about 3 years running a rig out in the oil field, and I come home and my youngest daughter was there, Jessica. She's 7 or 8 years old. And I still had some of that unredeemed territory in my life, okay? And I had a bad day at work, and the dog that the kids talked me into getting had got in the well house and found a roll of insulation and tore it into about 1 million pieces in the backyard. Whew. I was hot. I hadn't removed that old brick of anger yet. Still had some of that in that foundation. So I'm just going to be real with you. I'm spitting, cussing, throwing them four-letter words out. And I'm a Christian, but I'm sure unredeemed at the moment. You hear what I'm saying? It's a process. I open the back door and tell them girls, both the oldest girls were gone, the youngest there, told her to get her butt out there and help me clean this mess up that her dog caused, okay? I'm not being a Christian like at all. And we're cleaning this up, and the dog's name was Buster, and Buster would run and jump up on her. He was taller than she was, and she'd learned this trick that she'd pick up a stick and throw that stick, that dog go chase that stick. Then she could do whatever she's doing. She didn't find a stick, but she seen this rock there, so she picked up that rock, and she threw that rock, and guess where that rock landed? Right between my eyes. I mean, right between, bloodied my, right here between my nose, bloodied my forehead. And she had a pretty good arm on her. I wasn't 10 feet away from her. I actually fell to my knees. I got dizzy, and I thought it was going to knock me out. Kind of a David and Goliath type story, you know. And don't think God won't tell you to shut up, okay? Because I could have swore on the way down to my knees that he said, shut up, fool. Shut up, fool. Yes, sir. He's got to speak to me like that sometimes. I'm a little hard-headed. And if he needs to chunk a rock at you, he'll do it. Don't think he won't get your attention. Sometimes we write that off as happenstance or that's the devil. I'm telling you, God will chunk a rock at you to get your attention and get you back on track. So he takes that brick out and he puts another one in. You know, I never really talked down to my daughters after that day. You know, I got a little hot-headed, but the worst of it was dealt with that day. When he said, shut up, I listened. I didn't want no more rocks upside my head. And I know he'd do it again. Amen? Amen. Now, your rock may be different from mine, but don't think he won't throw a rock at you to get your attention. And I ain't one you put in a pipe either, okay? Let's get that straight. We all been there, right? It ain't smoking no rocks, okay? There's a rock smoking you. And that's what happened to me. So, you know, really what I want to say is that it's never too late to let God rebuild that foundation in your life. Never too late. And it's a lifelong process. Maybe you've never said yes to Him and never said, okay, Lord, okay, I'm ready to start a fresh path here. I'm ready for a new foundation. I'm ready for a fresh start. Or maybe you've said yes to Him and you've wandered off. Maybe kind of twisted off. I've done both. I've been both places. But God's a God of second chances, sometimes third and fourth. All you got to do is say, come on, God. I need to get back on track here. You know, if you don't, I tell you, we're living in a serious time right now. A real serious time. I mean, not only in this area because the oil field's going down. I mean, we kind of take that as a sign that things aren't real kosher right now. But I'm talking about worldwide. It's getting crazy. As a matter of fact, if you look in Matthew 26, you see the signs of the time of the end is near. Don't let another day pass you by without saying yes to it. You know, I thought it was going to be too late for me, but thank God it wasn't. Don't let it be too late for you. Don't let pride get in the way, okay? Don't let any of those bricks that's in your old foundation get in your way. You know? I used to be so hard-headed and so stubborn that you couldn't beat me down and make me cry. You know, my granddaughters come to the house and we watch TV. I cry watching Little House on the Prairie now. You know, I can't keep it shut off because God opened up the flow. Opened up my emotions. Healed my hurts. You want Him to heal your hurts? You want Him to touch your life? You want Him to restore your family? Anybody want Him to restore your family up in the house? Amen. God can do that like nobody else can. So I'm going to invite you to come tonight. I'm going to invite you to come say yes to Jesus tonight. There's no limit to what He can do in your life. No limit. Who knows what tomorrow's going to bring? I mean, who knows? You know, I was just in an accident in my pickup truck December the 7th. They totaled my truck out. I was that close to losing my life. Didn't break a bone. God protected me. But I could have lost my life that close. You never know when you leave here. And I'm not trying to put no fear factor on you, but I'm telling you, time is short. Don't waste any more time. Don't do like me and waste 31 years. Don't waste 31 years. Don't waste another minute. Say yes to Him tonight. Greg, you want to come? Thank y'all for giving me the opportunity to speak to you.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.